Game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything high school football. It's Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Quarterback. I'm Dave Rudin. We are at the midway point of the FCAC football season. It seems like it was just yesterday we were talking about, will the season ever start? And we've already hit the 50% mark. An interesting circuit of games this past week. And Wilton and Staples will be a big topic of conversation after the Warriors' shocking in terms of margin of victory, 41-7 win over Staples. And joining us a little bit later is going to be Warriors coach E.J. DeNunzio. And in the wildest game of the weekend, Friday night, Ludlow rallied to tie Norwalk in the final moments, and then a missed extra point was the difference in overtime, Ludlow coming away with a 35-34 win. And Falcons quarterback Ryan Love is also going to be coming up a little bit later. Joining me, as always, my co-pilot, Sean Ireland. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right here. Just had to check to go see how my boy Zach Allen and the Broncos were doing. I see they got a 10-6 lead, but what are your we got a lot to unpack this week. Just overview. Any initial impressions from you?
Yeah. Well, first off, the Broncos are playing the Jets, so Zach Allen, he'll be fine.
he gets the Giants next week, so he'll be even better.
You know, you said it, Dave. The margin of difference of the game between Wilton and Staples. You know, I was shocked with that. You know, quick shout out, Dave McMahon, two wins in a row.
Sorry, B. West Hill.
Two wins. Ward still 4-1. They still have, you know, they got a couple tough ones back to back after the bye week. Crazy night in Fairfield. I can tell you that.
We're at the midway point, and seven teams in the FCAC are either 5-0 or 4-1. Which says something about the league. We've still got three teams, New Canaan, Greenwich, and Wilton, undefeated. New Canaan and Greenwich is on the clock, and we'll talk about both those teams a little bit later, but save a lot for next weekend when we're going to have the hype for the number one and two teams in the state. And as Tony Morello, the Greenwich coach, told me after his win over Trumbull yesterday, the most hyped game that doesn't mean anything. It will in terms of possibility to finish number one in the final state poll, but it's going to be a lot of fun in two Friday nights at Dunning Field in New Canaan. Why don't we got to start with Wilton Staples, I think, and I thought Staples would win a close game. I thought everybody, you know, is just keep coming up with reasons why Wilton isn't for real. And each week Wilton comes in and, you know, basically jumps over each hurdle and refutes that. And last 3 weeks they beat Cheshire, which beat Daniel Hand yesterday. They've beat Ludlow, which is a really good 4-1 team. And then they go to Staples and they just blow out the records on their homecoming.
Yeah, you know what EJ is doing, Coach DeNunzio is doing there. He's doing an unbelievable job. But Dave, we've been talking about it the last, I don't know, I'm going to say 2-3 weeks. Like, who's the top tier? Who's the top team in tier two? And we always say Wilton, but you know they could be tier one, but they're not. They could be, but they're not. You know what? After this past week, they are tier one.
They're low. I was going to say they're part of tier one.
100%. Like, I have my rankings right now. I have them or St. Joe's as the third team. You know, and again, why am I hesitant to put Wilton above them? I don't know why. You know, they deserve to be mentioned with the New Canaan, the Greenwich, the St. Joe's. They deserve it. But again, I don't know what's holding me back. And, you know, they're an unbelievable team.
What's holding them back is that they don't have the marquee name. Everybody says Walton, and, you know, Darianne has been getting voted ahead of them, and I think they've been voted too high. I bumped Walton up to number six. I did my state poll ballot last night, and I bumped them up to number six, and I'm going to keep them high until they slip. But I don't know what else they have to do for any skeptics. And it was just a beatdown. It was a beatdown, and the usual suspects, Charlie Calabrese and Dennis Dunstan, they each had three touchdowns and just dominated the game on the ground. Dustin ran for about 140 yards, Calabrese for about 100, hit a couple of big pass plays to Connor McAndrews. And yeah, they came into the game, Calabrese had 493 and Dustin 472 yards rushing. But what hasn't been talked about, and you can still talk about Calabrese and Dustin, they deserve it. Walton dominated both lines of scrimmage.
Yeah,
Curtis Jackson and Alan Oxton on the defensive line just gave Staples' offensive line fits.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it, because I have it in my notes. Obviously, Calabrese and Dustin, it's the, you know, two-headed horseman that you got to worry about. But you know what? For them to do what they're doing, the boys up front got to be blocking. You know, so it's not like it's 7-on-7 where there's no. There's 11 guys trying to tackle these two, but the five guys up front, and I don't know their names, so I'm not going to sit here, but I do have it in my notes that Will and the offensive line needs to be praised, because what these kids are doing is unbelievable.
You don't run like this just because you're great players. You need the holes, and every offensive lineman that has success will compliment the guys blocking for him. But both lines were really, really impressive. And I'll tell you what, Walton doesn't have a lot of depth. They're going to be in trouble if hopefully they will not have any injuries. But their starting players are right up there with the top players around the state right now and around the league. And yeah, I'm gonna do some mid-season packaging this week, and I'm gonna do my mid-season awards, and I'm trying to think of like who the most valuable player is through the first half of the season. You know, Andrew Esposito, I think, is the top player in the league, and Hector Lopez, who had another big day for Greenwich running the ball, he's in there. But I always look at with MVP, if you took that player off the team, what kind of effect would it have? And New Canaan still got a lot of talent. They would still be up there without Andrew. And I mean, having him in there just makes them so much better. And Greenwich would be a strong team. You take, and I don't even know, you have to put them together, because one, I guess you'd have to give Calabrese a little bit of the edge because he's throwing the ball too. But, you know, you take Calabrese or Dunstan and both of them off the team, and Wilton's a below 500 team, and Dustin is definitely I don't know how you would phrase it, the player nobody was talking about at the end of August that everybody's talking about right now.
Yeah, Dave, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's no knock to anybody in the league, but Esposito is the best player in the league. You know, you could make the argument New Canaan would be 4-1 if they didn't have him, because their only score against St. Joe's with his pick six, so maybe they lose that game. But Lopez, tremendous. But Calabrese is the guy. You know, he's the most valuable player in the league, because if he's not there, I'm telling you, I don't know what their record is, but it's not 5-0. I can tell you that. And to complement that with Dustin, you put those two kids together in the backfield, and they're both running the ball. It's a threat. I think if you go with midseason MVP, which we're going to do next week, you have to go with Charlie Calabrese, I think.
If you don't have Calabrese, you can't run the option. So, I mean, that changes the whole dynamic. And the option's hard to simulate, and Staples could do nothing against it.
Yeah, when the team rushes for, you know, 250 yards. That's you know, the defense struggled. You know, the defense struggled. But again, it's credit to the guys running the plays. It's credit to the O-line. It's credit to Calabrese. It's credit to Dustin. Credit to the coaches calling the right plays. You know, but that was just a dominating win against a good Staples football team. Staples is not bad. So to win 41-7 at Staples in a crazy environment, man, Wilton is good.
I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of Staples talk, a lot yesterday too. I was at another game and people are talking about it, and you watch the Wilton players at the end of the game and they're shaking up their water bottles, and that was a little message from something that happened in a scrimmage that's reverberated throughout the area as well. But you can make a point with Staples that it's possible they could look back at this at the end of the year and say this was the best thing that ever happened to them, because I'm not going to say they weren't prepared, but it's not that. But Wilton played the game much harder, and I just didn't like the body language when we talked about last week with Staples coming the way they handled the win over Darien, and that's been talked about a lot. All I'll say there is you've got to learn to win and lose with humility. And yeah. I think from that standpoint, that's a message I would be beating home as part of this bye week. And, you know, some of the antics have to, you know, it's Staples is a good team. Staples is not 34 points worse than Wilton, but they were on this night.
Yeah. You know, I heard about some of the antics as well from against Darien when Staples played Darien. You know, and I just hope that you know they do learn from this, because they do have a tough second half schedule. You know, they got St. Joe's, New Canaan, Ludlow, and Greenwich. They're 4-1. I mean, they could see themselves outside the state playoffs if they don't learn from this mistake. Because I can tell you one thing, those other coaches are looking at that film and they're like, okay, this is how we can attack their defense. So I hope they learn from it, because they are a good team. You know, maybe this bye week is at the perfect time for them.
I think it is. I think they got a little bit of a lesson that they needed to get. And if they take this the right way and just get back to playing Staples football and again having a little humility, I think this game could help them. You learn a lot. You learn more in defeat than you do in victory. And I hope for the record standpoint that's the case. We're gonna take a break. One thing I gotta give a shout out to. Hail to the Staples fans. Staples fans, a decade or so, or a little bit more, maybe a decade ago, were not considered a strong fan base. And those fans stayed, even though the game was really one-sided at halftime. It was their homecoming, and they stayed till the end. And you see a lot of the top teams and their fans leave at halftime no matter what. So I just want to give the Staples student body a big shout out for supporting their players on what was a tough night for them. Why don't we take a break, Sean? We come back, we'll bounce around a little bit more. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Staples, both teams have really difficult back ends of the schedule. You look at, I just kind of skimmed it. There's going to be 1 to 2 really big games almost every week now, the rest of the regular season with this new balanced schedule and all the top teams playing each other. So it's going to be interesting in terms of the battle for state playoffs and Class Double L is really, really weak, so it might be easier for some of the teams there. They can handle a loss or two better than some of the others, but we'll see. And you know, is there going to be a team in the top that's going to struggle against all the other teams and maybe lose out on a state playoff spot, even though they're deserving?
Yeah, the Double L is the way to go, you know, in terms of having the easier road to get in. You know, it is tougher for the Wilton St. Joe's just because they're a small school, but and they're in a big conference. But the good thing with them is they, you know, all the bonus points they can get if they win the games, you know, they play. Looking at where I still think we're going to be very well represented in the state tournament. You know, and I think the teams that we have, you know, we're going to be the top teams in the tournament. So it's going to be a very interesting second half of the year. Like you said, a lot of these guys are going to start, they're going to start playing each other. And, but again, this is what we want, you know, like it's no knocking anybody. We don't want to see a New Canaan playing a tier 3, tier 4 school. This is what we want. This is what the fans want. And it's just, I think it's better for the league, to tell you the truth.
I definitely think so. And it'll be interesting when the state poll comes out. It's not impossible. The FSEC will have 5 of the 10 spots, depending on how far Staples drops. I'm guessing they will not drop out of the top 10. And Darien was still in there, and they beat Central. So I don't know that they did anything to bump them down, but it'll be interesting to see. Why don't we get over to Ludlow Norwalk, and that was a wild game, and we're all trying to follow it Friday night. There wasn't really much on social media to look at it, and then actually the Ludlow fans went live on Instagram and were able to pick it up a little bit. But you, why don't you set the stage, because you're at the school, and I know you talked to a bunch of Norwalk people.
Yeah, man, oh, man, that's a crazy one. And Dave, I wish, because I thought of it this morning about 10 minutes before the show, I wish I could go back and look at the last 10 times Norwalk and Ludlow played, and I'm going to say at least 7 or 8 of them, it's a one-score game, and 3 or 4 of them come down to the last play. And this is the second time Norwalk's played Ludlow that the game's gone into overtime. So, like, it's a great matchup. I was a little with you, like, those are two good teams, and to have no coverage there, you know, it was a little upsetting, but it is what it is. So, you know, Ludlow gets out to an early lead. They're looking good, and it's like, all right, here we go. But in week two, Norwalk fell down very early, too. They came back, and that's exactly what Norwalk did. Norwalk comes right back. We take the lead. We're up 21-20. We get the ball back. Ethan Pace, 75, 80 yards run. Touchdown. We're up 28-20. The thing is, if he goes down, we kneel the clock out.
You're allowed to say we on this show?
What's that?
I said, are you allowed to say we on this show?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're a former coach there. It's okay.
Yes, Norwalk High has a chance to run the clock out, but we score. So we're up 28-20. I'm going to say with about a minute and a half left, we still got to stop them. Okay, they still got a long way to go. It's still in our favor, you know. And then Ludlow runs a double pass. Our defense kind of bites on it. They hit a kid, touchdown. We still have a shot. Because now it's 28-26. They got to get a two-point conversion. They get it. Tie the game up. We get the ball in overtime. Norwalk High gets the ball in overtime. We score first play. All right, we're good. Miss the extra point. We still have a shot. All we got to do is stop them. Nope. Ludlow scores. Kick the extra point, win the game. It was an exciting game, crazy game. Dave, I strongly suggest next year, I don't care what the records are for Norwalk Ludlow, if they're on the schedule, send somebody there, because it's going to be
You know what happened? I was sending somebody there, and 5 o'clock, my stomach just started rumbling, and I didn't trust myself to leave the house, and I moved Jeff Jacobs, who was supposed to cover that game for me, over to Staples Wilton. So we were going. I didn't anticipate this, but I anticipated it being a good game and a big game, And I feel really bad that I had to cancel the coverage on it.
Yeah. So now, like, if you look, you know, Ludlow, tough schedule second half, okay, but they're in the driver's seat. They're 4-1. Norwalk High, they're 2-3. They could win their last five games. So they end up at 7-3, and they're going to be right on that bubble. So this loss is huge. You know, obviously they got to go 1 week at a time. But, you know, this loss is huge in their state playoff seedings, you know. But they're going to be right there, right on the cusp. They have to win out, which they could do. But, man, that was an exciting game.
Yeah, it's funny. Just 2 weeks ago, we were talking Norwalk can maybe even go 9-1. And and they've hit a little bit of a wall here. And certainly no shame losing to Fairfield Ludlow, which is a really, really good team. But, yeah, I mean, Norwalk's – the margin of error is gone, but they're still a lot of young players, and including Easton, that are still getting their feet wet and getting used to it. But there's a lot of talent there, and is there a team that plays more exciting games each week than Fairfield Ludlow? Like if you want to just be entertained every week, you want to be their beat writer.
Yeah, you know, you want to be their beat writer. Hopefully you have a statistician with you next to you that's just doing stats separately. You know, you might run out of ink because they score a lot. But, you know, you look at their games. You know, their first game, they win by less than a touchdown. Their second, they beat West Hill handily. Shelton, they win a close game. Wilton, they lose a very close game. Norwalk, they win in overtime. You know, so they've had a lot of exciting wins, a lot of tight games. And those are the type of games that make you better going forward. You know, so even though Ludlow has a – I'm very interested in their game coming out of the break. They play Trumbull. You know, Trumbull is not as man, they're just tough.
I saw them against Greenwich.
Shocked at the level of play they're playing at. But they're going to come off a bye week. Trumbull's off a bye week. That's a game. Do not look over Trumbull. I think it's going to be a tough one.
I'll tell you, Trumbull, and we'll talk briefly about it after, but Trumbull, as bad as the 44-7 score looks, they played really hard, and they kept it a competitive game until Greenwich scored a touchdown with 3 seconds to go in the half to make it a 17-0 game. They played hard. They got worn down in the second half. And they lost two players, including quarterback Caleb Wachiski, to a concussion. And that just killed their offense. But, Ludlow's going to be in the hunt for sure. They're going to definitely, at the same time, maybe play spoiler for a couple of the top teams because they have a difficult schedule. And why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we're going to talk more Ludlow football with the Falcons quarterback, Ryan Love.
Everything you need to know about high school football. The Rudin Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and we've been talking about the Fairfield Ludlow win over Norwalk on Friday night and how entertaining the Falcons have been. And one of the reasons for that has been the great play of their new first-year junior quarterback, Ryan Love, and he's here with us right now. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. What was you guys play such crazy games? What was Friday night the craziest so far?
I definitely say last night was definitely the craziest by a little bit. We've had some pretty crazy, gritty games where we've had to come back from a couple points and we just really never give up. Last night was just really awesome for the team.
Okay, take me through the mindset. Norwalk scores, they go up by 8 points. You and the offense are coming out onto the field. What's the mindset?
I mean, We know Coach Ross is going to dial up a good play. We knew they were going to play a prevent defense because at halftime, right before halftime, when we were trying to score, they were playing prevent. So we dialed up a double pass to Peyton Sparacino and Jackson, and the corner bit, and the play worked perfectly. It was awesome.
And then you still got to make a two-point conversion, and what about that one?
That was pretty crazy play. We were trying to call a timeout because the play clock was running down, and we didn't get the timeout off. But we had a good play in our pocket. We dialed up one of our best red zone plays to a great experienced senior receiver, Jake Palladino, and he pulled through. It was awesome.
Sean, I'll let you jump in here because I was about to ask the question just about Ludlow's awareness when Norwalk scored that final touchdown.
Yeah, Ryan, first off, great season to start. You guys are doing unbelievable. Great game on Friday night. So Dave, just got, like, what was your mindset, you know, like, Norwalk scores. Is it like automatic, like, okay, guys, we still got a shot, or is there like a little deflation and then, you know, you pick it up? Like, what was it like on the sideline, not just for you, but the whole entire team?
I mean, after they scored that long touchdown, there's definitely some doubt on the sideline, but I knew it was just a one score game. I mean, our offense does a great job moving the ball. We knew the whole game, like, it was going to be a close one, and I knew the whole time that we could pull through and make a crazy play happen, and we did.
Good. And then after you score, okay, obviously the excitement is going through the roof. Your fans are going nuts. Like, the stands are about to fall down. And then, like, what's it like, hey, guys, we still need to convert this. Like, we're not there yet, you know? So, like, what's it like trying to calm everybody down to get them back on the same page? And then, like you said, you know, the delay, you know, the penalty, you know, that you didn't get the timeout. You know, what do you got to do to calm the team? Because obviously everybody's looking at you as the leader of the team. What are you doing to calm everybody down to get them refocused?
I mean, it's just the next play mentality. Like, something good happens, you just got to look forward to the next play. I mean, we knew, like, after the penalty got called for the delay of game, it just made that two-point conversion a lot harder because it's 8 yards farther back. But, I mean, it was hard to calm everyone down because the atmosphere was going crazy. I mean, the stands were going wild. Everyone on the sideline was going nuts, but we found a way to calm everyone down and just pull through.
And was it the same play called even after the delay game, or did Coach have to switch it up?
Oh, we switched it up because we were too far away to run the play we were going to before.
And now you guys get into overtime. Norwalk scores right away, but then they miss the extra point. Are you guys like, okay, let's just go win this game?
Oh, yeah. Talking to Coach Ross on the sideline, I'm, like, all fired up. We knew what we had to do. I mean, that was a great play to one of my best friends, Timmy O'Neill. I mean, we have a lot of chemistry together. We put in countless hours together. We knew what we had to do on that first play when we got the ball. It was crazy.
Well, Ryan, great job. I don't know if you listened to the show earlier. You can count on Norwalk Ludlow being a one-score game. All the years I was coached there and all the years since, it always comes down to the last, literally the last play of the game. You know, congrats on a great win and keep it rolling for the second half of the season.
Yeah, thank you.
Ryan, did you guys, given the second half schedule you have, was this a must-win game in the team's eyes, given – your state playoff hopes?
Yeah, I mean, after that tough loss to Wilton, this was definitely a must-win game for us because we have some really tough teams coming up, as in Greenwich, New Canaan, and St. Joe's, and Ward's looking good this year, and Trumbull's definitely a very good, gritty team.
It's crazy with this New Balance schedule, what you have. I mean, you have a war every week now.
Yeah. It's second half of the year is definitely going to be tough for us, but we've been put through already a couple tests this year. I'm ready to battle it out. I mean, it's going to be a rough second half of the year schedule-wise, but I think we can pull off some good wins.
Your coach, Mitch Ross, is such an innovative offensive mind. Is it number one as a new quarterback? Is it hard to pick things up? Does it take a while?
He makes it really easy for me. Like, we go through every play a countless number of times. He always has a great game plan in. So he makes it really easy for me, like, reads-wise and, like, what I have to do. So, I mean, he's a great coach when it comes to that stuff.
How much fun is it to play in that kind of offense? I mean, I've got to think it's probably the closest thing to, like, playing in your backyard with your friends and playing pickup football.
Yeah, it's the best. I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, some of the plays he calls, just like, it's just amazing. I mean, we're a pass-first offense. It's just such a blessing to play for his offense.
Now, Ryan came into this week leading the league in passing yards, and just another day at the office for you Friday night, 27 of 41 for 235 yards and two touchdowns, and you carried the ball 10 times for 73 yards. You're somewhere on the board there when we're talking about midseason MVPs, and I don't think people knew much about you. We never know much about new starters, really, that are coming up, but I've got to think you've got to be real excited by the way you personally have played so far.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the credit goes out to our receivers and O-line for just blocking for me, and our receivers have been making incredible plays all year, getting open for me, which makes my job a lot easier. And our running backs, Liam Bond, Max Saunders, Alessandro, I mean, they're a big help to the team because defenses have to really, like, look out for them because we throw the ball to the running backs a lot, and they open up a lot more big plays for our receivers to go out there and make plays.
Well, you just made your offensive teammates real happy. That's the great best thing with a quarterback. Praise the line, praise everybody around you. But like I said, Ludlow plays the most entertaining games across the board from game 1 to 10. It's kind of cool to see what's happened to Ludlow football. You made the state playoffs for the first time last year, and you guys are in the hunt to do it again. So congratulations on the first half of the season. Best of luck second half. And thanks for taking a little time here this morning to join us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that was Ludlow quarterback Ryan Love. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Sean and I'll continue to go around the league. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
The Rudin Report Live presents Sunday Morning Quarterback, a look at Connecticut high school football with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and Sean, let's give a quick little peek to three games. We're going to be talking so much next week about New Canaan and Greenwich, and I don't want to do too much on it right this week, but it's going to be hyped. It's going to be a lot of fun. First, New Canaan, a big 43 win over a Danbury team that can cause a lot of problems for you. 201 yards rushing the ball, and led by Henry Stein, who had 177 of them. And then, you know, Maddox Hoffman still adjusting to being the starting quarterback. He was 12 for 12. 165 yards. You know, just New Canaan's had a couple of tough games coming off the St. Joseph game, and nobody likes having to make that ride to Danbury, but an impressive performance.
Yeah, very well. Very good job. It was obviously their game plan was like, do not let the Danbury's defensive line take over. You know, you could tell by the, it was a run-first game, for New Canaan. It sounds like I was not at the game, but I just read up on it. It sounds like their game plan, was perfect, run the ball, take them out. And that's exactly what they did. You said there's a few places you don't want to go, especially later in the year. It's not too bad now, but man, I remember one year we played at Danbury. It was our last game before Thanksgiving. It was a Friday night. It was about 30 degrees wind whipping around up there. It's not fun to play, but, New Canaan, they're just a wrecking ball right now, and we're all waiting for 2 weeks from now. That's what we're waiting for.
Yeah, and that's just going to be one of many tough games, but you rarely you get the number one and number two. And I had fun talking with Tony Morello after the Greenwich win yesterday just about it. And the thing that will be cool and it'll come out is those two coaching staffs are really, really close. You go back, I asked Tony, in fact, is this going to be bigger than the old Marinelli Bowls when Johnny went over and coached at Greenwich? And, it started there and it's continued with, I think there's always been a camaraderie there. And it's continued with Tony. They do 7-on-7. They do a lot of things together. So the thing that's going to be fun about it is, yeah, it's going to be a huge game because it's one versus two. But it's also two teams that have mutual respect and like each other. And, at the end of the day, they'll walk around and walk away with arm in arm, the coaches. And they're going to have a lot of fun hyping the game, too, with their personalities.
Yeah, Marinelli, Morello, two Italians, they have each other. It's just that Anthony was right. Coach Morello was right. In the grand scheme of things, this game doesn't mean much. They're both going to make mistakes, but it is a big game. There's no way to say it's not a big game. When one versus two in any sport at any time during the season, it's going to get hyped up. And the fact that there's a bye week before it, it's just going to make it even more hyped before the game starts. So that's the one that's circled on everybody's calendar 2 weeks from now. And Dave, I just looked. Greenwich's second half schedule, their team they're playing is a combined 22-2.
Yeah.
22-3. So that's a tough second half. But let's just fast forward to 2 weeks from now. Let's get on this game.
It's a gauntlet. I almost think, and this is conversation for another time, maybe, and the league's doing, we've both hailed the league for what they're doing. It's great. But these teams should maybe get, as much as I like, it's tough. I guess I say what these teams should have one more game that's maybe it's not the bottom teams, but a middle of the pack team just to not kill these guys every single week and maybe cost yourself a team that's going to normally make the state playoffs that won't. But, from a media standpoint, this is just tremendous.
Yeah. I agree. We've been talking about this for weeks, Dave. I like the direction the league is going, but there's got to be some tweaks, Just looking at the schedules the second half of the year from all the top teams, it's tough. It's very, very tough. Again, as somebody who just loves good football, I think it's fantastic. But, there's got to be some leeway where, it's like St. Joe's second half. They're Darian Staples, Ludlow, Wilton, Trumbull. Staples second half. Ward, St. Joe's, New Canaan, Ludlow, Greenwich, If you look at all the big ones, this is who they're playing. But again, getting those bonus points, hopefully it bumps them up a spot. The goal is to make the state tournament, and if all these teams make the state tournament with a tough schedule, you got to point to the schedule as one of the reasons why. So
it'll be interesting to see how the FCAC, after beating each other up the second half, how they do in the state tournament. And if for some reason it's a subpar performance, that probably will affect the thinking on the schedule as well.
Yeah, that could be. You know, that could be. You know, but, you know, I could always go back. Dave, there was one year when I was coach at Norwalk High. We played seven teams that made the state tournament. Nobody brought up back then, hey, Norwalk is playing seven teams in the state tournament. You know, but it's funny how it's an issue now when, you know, and again, there are some schools that don't care. They're like, hey, we're going to play whoever's on the schedule.
Yeah. You know what? So, it's been all the coaches, and it got talked about, and it got talked about. I was hanging out a little bit with Mars and Tony together before the game. And they're talking about how hard it is, but nobody's complaining about it. I should take that back. Mars is a little bit. Mars has a legitimate gripe based on where they were ranked in the ranking of the teams and the schedule they got. But outside of that, you talk to the coach at the top team. They note how difficult it is, but nobody's really complaining that much.
Yeah, and that's credit to them. You know, it's again, I think this is what you want. Maybe not to this extent, you know, but this is what we want. We want the top teams playing each other. We want the middle teams playing each other. The lower teams playing each other. It nobody gets anything out of beating a team 49-0 with a running clock to start the second half. The team that's winning doesn't get anything out of it, and obviously the team that's losing doesn't get anything out of it. So we just got to limit those games and then somehow figure out where, you know what, okay, we don't have to crush each other week in, week out. That's where they got it. It's a thin line, and they have to try to figure that piece out.
I'm talking of running clocks, we got that at the end of Greenwich Trumbull, surprisingly. Lopez, as I mentioned before, 225 total yards. He's in the conversation for certain about MVPs at the midseason, and that kid just runs like a truck. He's unstoppable. Tarantino, 11 for 17, 87 yards, and the defense held Trumbull to 93 yards. Sonny Parra was all over the field. And then let's, before we take a break, a minute or two on St. Joe's. 16-0 up at Ridgefield, another place that nobody likes to go to. Tiger Hollow, one of the best home field advantages in the state. The Cadets force six turnovers, hold Ridgefield to 144 yards, and their defense is not allowed a touchdown in nine quarters.
Yeah, first off, you never want to go up to Ridgefield. You know, that I'll say they. I think they have the best home field advantage in the league. It's never fun going up there, you know, on a Friday night. But you said it, you know, four interceptions, two fumbles, St. Joe's defense, you know, you're looking at the teams, New Canaan's defense, you know, Greenwich defense, Staples defense up until this last week, you know, you can make an argument, wait, who has the best defense? St. Joe's is right there. You know, their defense has been lights out. You know, they have three shutouts technically on defense because New Canaan was an offensive the offense led up the touchdown. So their defense technically has three shutouts. You know, they're playing they're the strength of their team right now. Now, the thing with St. Joe's, they have to get that offense going. They have to. They can't rely on field goals. You know, they have to get that offense going because their defense is going to keep them in every single game they play the rest of the way. But they got to start turning those field goals into touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree. That's the first thing that Joe Delavecchia will talk to you about. And the other thing that's got to get cleaned up is penalties. Penalties have plagued the team also, and they've been able to get away with it. But it's going to be tough if they play some of these teams and they have a lot of penalties. That could be a deciding factor. And you know, they have their only losses are to New Canaan and to Hand on opening day. So this is a good St. Joe's team, a solid St. Joe's team.
Yeah, they're very good. Like I said, I have my weekly rankings within the FCAC. I have them, you know, I have Wilton 3A, St. Joe's 3B. You know, St. Joe's is a tremendous team, they just need to find a way to get into the tournament. If they get into the tournament, they will be fine.
That's going to be fun tonight. We have the fourth annual Rudin Report Awards night and Lifetime Achievement winner Joe Delavecchia. I know we have a big crowd of St. Joe's people, so it's going to be a lot of fun honoring him. We're going to he's one of the best coaches in big game situations. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to go back to Wilton Staples and talk with Warriors coach E.J. DeNunzio. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
A look at Connecticut high school football action. Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut with your host, Dave Rudin.
Circling back from where we started the show with Wilton's 41-7 route of Staples, it's been talked about a lot for the last 24-plus hours. We know about the Grinch who stole Christmas, and now we've got the coach who stole homecoming from Staples with us, E.J. DeNunzio. E.J., how you doing?
Dave, how are you?
I'm doing good, probably not as good as you.
Yeah, it's been a great couple of days, I got to be honest.
How satisfying is it when you're getting your team up for a big game? Your guys, you know, have not been, keep getting discounted. Like you keep getting challenged to prove you're for real. You keep doing it, and then you get challenged again. And I just loved not only the way your kids played, but their body language in terms of how they've handled this and how they really decided this was the game they were going to show everybody, yeah, we are for real.
Yeah, listen, it's more about the kids, right? For me, I'd rather be outside looking in, you know, keep us as honorable mention. I'm good with that. but for them, they want some of the credit. Listen, it's a great bunch of kids. They're hardworking. I agree with you on the body language. You know, they're football guys. They want to go out there. They want to play. So for them, yeah, they wanted some of the recognition. It was, you know, they had to go out there and prove some points, which I think they did. And again, listen, I think it was a perfect storm. You know, Staples is coming off a huge win against Ariana, you know, a top five team, and they had a great win against West Haven. So, you know, they were flying high, and here we are coming in under the radar. You know, we had a good win against Ludlow, but obviously our schedule wasn't on par to Staples. So it ended up being a really perfect storm. We went in there, and I thought we had a real good game plan. I thought we practiced real well. I thought my coaches did a phenomenal job getting us prepared and ready. And it was all about the kids going out and executing the game plan, and that's what it usually boils down to. You don't execute, you don't win, and they did a great job executing.
I mean, you look at the streak, Cheshire, Ludlow, Staples. Before we get to the two guys everybody talks about, and we spoke a little bit about this after the game, but kudos to your offensive and defensive lines. That's where you guys really won the game. You know, Calabrese and Dustin don't do what they do, but I just thought both lines of scrimmage, you guys just dominated.
Yeah, Dave, I couldn't agree more. You know, going into the season, that was our focal point. We were worried. As you know, we lost our biggest lineman over to Brunswick, and that was a big blow to us. So, you know, we're dealing with some guys that are a little bit smaller in stature. So we really had to work on technique. They've worked hard with their footwork, their pad level, because, listen, it's tough to move a guy that's, you know, 50 pounds heavier than you if you don't have the right, you know, the right technique. So that was a big point of contention for us, you know, getting our line ready to go. We got some kids on that line, man. They are so – listen, my center, if he weighs 175 pounds, Dave, I'd be shocked. And that would be soaking wet.
Give them – shout out their names, too, when you talk about them.
Yeah, that's Trevor Galligan. He's one of my captains. He's a lacrosse goalie. He's just a competitor. And when I tell you, you know, every week he is up against a guy at least 50, 60 pounds heavier, and he does his job. He comes flying off the field, biggest smile on his face. I got a tackle. I'm not going to be able to pronounce his last name. I haven't pronounced it right in the last 3 years. His name's Peter Swierczynski. And this kid, I think you know the story. He's a gold medalist judo.
I wrote that story last
year. Yeah, you wrote the story, and you wrote it well.
I like that.
His hands are phenomenal. when he locks you up, you're not getting off the block. And then we have some younger kids, but they work so well together. Kudos to my offensive line coach, Matt McGoldrick. You know, he went from a receivers coach 2 years ago to a line coach. Said, "Coach, I got it. Don't worry about it." And just a phenomenal job. And yes, you are right. Denny Dustin, Charlie Calabrese do not run the way they do without that line. So our line has been, at both sides, Bob Anderson on the defensive side of the ball. I got a kid, Curtis Jackson. If he's not one of the best defensive ends in the area, I'd eat my hat. He is.
Yeah.
He is quick. He's big. He started for me the last 2 years. You know, I was blessed with Owen Theo Harity out there as well. And Curtis, you know, he was under the radar the whole year last year. But I'll tell you what, he bats balls down. He pressures the quarterback. You know, he had Trumbo's quarterback going backwards. He had Love from Ludlow going backwards. And he did the same thing the other night. So just a great job on both the O and D lines of my coaches and my players.
Yeah, you can make a strong argument for Calabrese as the midseason MVP. You take him away, you don't run the option like you do. And I know you knew this, we didn't, but I don't know how you would phrase the award, but Dustin's got to be the best player that nobody was talking about at the end of August.
So, Dave, I got to tell you, it's one of those things last year where, you know, I look back and I say, what the heck was I doing? you know, Denny, as a sophomore, was a tremendous football player. We knew we had something really good with him. He started off the season all last year. He kind of hit the hole a little slower than normal. You know, being a sophomore, his eyes were big, and we kind of gave him a little bit of time to just see the field a little better. You know, watch Charlie Calabrese run. But I think I waited too long to get him off the sidelines. And he had a breakout game. I wanted to say it was maybe week 8. I think he had 6 touches, and he ran for like 200-some-odd yards and 2 touchdowns. But, again, it didn't make that much headlines because Charlie in the same game did the same thing. So going into this year, I knew what I had. And it was going to be a question of, listen, do I play this kid both ways because he can play defense as well, or am I going to make him – he going to be the bell carrier? Is he going to be my running back? And you know, I got chills watching the highlight from the other day. The cuts that this kid makes, the vision that he has. Dave, I've had some good running backs, and one of them is my quarterback this year. But Denny Dustin, the way he runs the ball, is up there with the best that I've ever had. And, you know, he's a junior. So I know the colleges will be calling me, often about him. He's just a heck of a runner. And those two in the backfield, listen, they cause problems. You know, you can't spy on Charlie because there's Denny. You can't, you know, overload Denny's side because Charlie will run it. So, you know, those two kids in the backfield, they're just unbelievable. And they're fun to watch, man. I enjoy watching from the sidelines, Dave. They're great.
I'll tell you, Dustin has just incredible field vision. The longest of his touchdown runs, he kept weaving right and left, finding, you know, going back and forth to where the hole was. And any other running back, that's maybe like a 15 to 20 yard run before you get tackled. And he just weaved and found his way to the end zone. It was all because of not just his skill, but his field vision.
Yeah, and Dave, that's exactly right. So he's got the patience, right? So he'll let his blockers, he'll let the play develop. Then he hits the hole. I mean, he's got a burst of speed that, you know, he gets in the open space, you're not catching him. So then he turns that burst on, and then it's, you know, you don't see it. You know, this is like old school Walter Payton stuff. He has the ability to cut back against the grain. And, you know, that was, you know, back in the old days, you'd hear about these running backs, they could cut it back against the grain. Then he does it, you know, better than most. And then when he makes that cut, he has the ability to lower his shoulder and run you over. So he's the whole package. And as I said, you know, as a junior, he's only going to get better. So, he does it all, and he's been huge for our success, for sure.
Sean, jump on in.
Coach, congrats to a great start. One of my favorite people in the league. It's not a secret how much I love you, Coach. Great start. One of the things I picked up on what you said after the game is just the trust. When you were talking to your team, you know, like you asked the kids, do you trust yourselves? Do you trust the guy next to you? Do you trust your coaches? And then you yell, look what happens when you trust everybody. you know, talk to me just about the camaraderie your team has, because it looks like, you know, somebody who doesn't know your team, that they are playing for each other rather than just playing for themselves.
Yeah, hey, listen, Sean, it's great talking to you again. Appreciate all the kind words. You know, I think it was Pete Pegwaga asked me after the game. He said, you know, what's been the difference? And you know, Wilton's had some great coaches going back to Egan and Cunningham. And, you know, the difference is, you know, I had to try to get these kids to understand that, you know, we can win these games, but you got to believe that you can. You know, you can't go into the game and say, wow, it's the red and black of New Canaan, you know, hopefully we can keep it close. No, you got to go in and say, hey, listen, we're going to win this game. But you're not going to win it if, you know, you don't go out and execute. So when it comes to, you know, believing themselves and believing their teammates and believing their coaches, that's what it takes. I mean, if you don't think you can do it and you don't think your teammate next to you is going to do it and you don't think the coaches are going to be able to create a game plan, you're not going to win games. So you hit the nail on the head, Sean. These kids totally believe in themselves. They believe in their ability. And I go back to, I always ask these guys, you know, hey, freshman year, you remember freshman year? How'd you guys do against Staples? Oh, coach, we beat them. Oh, what's changed? You know, as long as you've continued to work hard, you've gotten bigger, faster, and stronger, and so have your brothers next to you, and your coaches work hard every single week, why can't the results be the same? So they definitely believe in themselves. They definitely believe they can win those types of games. Like I said, you know, 41-7, that was fantastic. I think I just think the pieces fell together that game. But, you know, to your point, teams that play together and play hard usually, you know, have some success, and that's what they're doing right now. And I'll tell you right now, after that game, that bus ride home, they were thrilled. But everyone to a man said, hey, listen, we're week five. We got a long way to go. We have a lot. Hey, Sean, listen, as you know, as being a coach, too many mistakes. I had too many penalties. In the last 3 weeks, Sean, I have had, I want to say, five fourth down and shorts that we have not converted. I've had penalties in a red zone, so much that we could still clean up. So we're a long way away, but we're playing well. So, you know, we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, you definitely are. I could say that. And Coach, you can be honest here. When you found out, like, all right, we're their homecoming, was that a little extra motivation for the boys, or was it business as usual?
No, listen, for me, it's nothing, right? It's another game. For the kids, yeah, no, they don't want to be anybody's homecoming. You know, again, when we have homecoming, and we had Ludlow this year because our schedule is so – it's kind of, all right, we're home for two games, then we're away for four, and then we come back at the end. You know, you don't want it to be cold. You don't want it to be miserable. So I totally get it. Listen, Staples, it's us. But the kids kind of like, hey, they made us homecoming, and, you know, that means that we're a doormat, and they think they're going to roll over us. I know Staples didn't feel that way. It just breaks that way. But, yeah, to them, listen, they don't want to be anybody's homecoming. They want to go out there and beat the team that thinks that they're going to win the game. So, you know, for us coaches, Sean, you know the deal. It's another week. It's another game. But for them, yeah, kind of put a little chip on their shoulder. They wanted to go out there and prove something.
Yeah, well, Coach, I think you guys are doing a tremendous job. And, you know, I wish you nothing but the best of luck the second half of the year.
Sean, as always, listen, I appreciate you, man. Appreciate everything you do. The stuff that you and Dave do is awesome. Such a promotion for Connecticut High School football. Really appreciate it.
Hey, EJ, we got to take a quick break. Can you hang on for a couple more minutes?
Only for you, Dave. You and Sean.
You're the best. Okay. We'll come back with EJ D'Annunzio on the other side. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Let's get back to the action. The Rudin Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay. We're back. A few more minutes with Wilton coach EJ D'Annunzio. EJ, you were I do my preseason tour, and you were my first stop, and I got the feeling you were a card player who knew that you were holding a pretty good hand, but everybody else wasn't really sure. Has this hand proved even better than you thought it was, or did you see this possibility coming, being 5-0 at midseason?
Well, it's a great question, Dave. No, I didn't see 5-0. Yes, I did know what I had. I will tell you, depth is a big concern for me. You know, if I have one of my guys goes down, you know, I'll have the next man up kind of mentality, but, you know, there's going to be a fall off. So going into the season, yes, I knew I had some dudes that could go out there and play with anybody. But depth was a worry for me. You know, I was hoping to get through the first 5-4-1. That would be fantastic. Didn't expect to be 5-0. But as I tell my guys, right, all I want them to do is just get better every week. You know, we talk about, you know, win every play. Well, yeah, win every play, win every down, win every series, win every half, win every game. But if we don't get better, that's where we have a problem. So, I mean, I can remember it was, I think, week 3, and we had a poor practice. And I think we were going into Cheshire, who, by the way, is a heck of a football team. And I told these guys, listen, tomorrow, the day before the game, we usually have the walkthrough. You're wearing full pads, okay? So I have to stay after my guys at times. But our goal is to be better every single day. And, you know, it's proven out. So now, you know, we have a bye week, so we took the weekend off. I gave him Monday and Tuesday off as well. And then going forward into the season, we're going to go in with a fresh mentality. And we're going to start all over like we're 0-0. And we're going to play every game to win every play. And that's been our mentality. And, yeah, listen, I thought I had some players. I thought we could be pretty damn good. 5-0, I didn't expect, no.
Nobody's going to want to play you in the state playoffs. You first have to get there, and you have a difficult second half of the season to get through.
Yeah, listen, you know, Dave, you cover it. You cover it well. The FCAC is such a fantastic league. And as I always say, listen, it's not just the players. You know, you look across the sidelines, you're going against Lou Marinelli, you're going against Morello, you're going against Mars Petrazio, Joey DelVecchio. I mean, come on. I mean, they're the best coaches around. And so it is an absolute challenge every single week. I got Donnie coming up next week who, you know, a little down from the years past, but, you know, he's a phenomenal coach. So there are no easy weeks. Got to have my kids prepared every single week. And it's going to be a tough next 5 games. And, you know, you talk about those 2 Greenwich and St. Joe's games, and, you know, I know exactly what I'm going to get when Greenwich comes into town because they were not happy last year, for sure. You know, surprising them the way we did. So we know they're coming in, and their guns will be blazing with their players. And then we have St. Joe's, whose defense is just unbelievable. You know, I have one of their defensive coaches, works in Wilton, and I see the time and effort and the preparation he puts in. So, yeah, listen, and then we end with Hill House. So, again, a tough 5 games. All I can do is get my guys prepared. My coaches will have them prepared. They have to go out and execute. They execute, we'll be okay. If they don't execute, we'll struggle.
Hopefully you stay healthy, because I think right now that's the only thing that can derail you if you play the second half like you did the first half. And as Sean said, and I know this for a fact because I talked to a few coaches, you certainly are one of the good guys in the league and well-respected, because a lot of coaches we're happy for you. They're probably the ones that don't have to play you the rest of the way. And I'll just say they were amused by the water bottles after the game as well. So,
yeah, listen, Dave, you know, and I hope that every coach out there knows that when me and my kids celebrate the little wins, it for me, you know, those are the things that are important. You know, life, football is just a little measure of life. And listen, any football, and listen, I know Sean believes this wholeheartedly. You know, football teaches you life lessons for sure. And after a hard week of work and preparation, you go out there and you win a football game. Listen, celebrate the small wins. You know, don't ever rub it in anybody's face. But, you know, I tell my kids, listen, we worked hard. You go out there, you know, have a little bit of fun after the game. Then you get on a bus and, you know, you're respectful. And, you know, we respect every single team we play, and we're not afraid of anybody. But at the end of the games, we like to have a little bit of fun. And if we win and if we lose, we say, listen, they're over there celebrating because they beat us and we got to be better. So, yeah, we had a little bit of fun on the sidelines, and that was just a culmination of a lot of hard work for that week and the preparation. So celebrate the small wins. Football is just a part of life. And we just, as coaches, we just try to get our kids to be better people at the end of the day, not just better football players.
Well, Wilton football has been the best story in the FCAC first half of the year, and you've done a great job with this team. So, EJ, thanks for staying on overtime with us and get a well-deserved little bit of a break, and then good luck second half of the year.
Dave, I appreciate it. And as I said, you and Sean do a phenomenal job. Just keep it up. Sorry you couldn't make the game the other day. I hope you're feeling better. And hopefully, I know I'll either see you at the Greenwich game or St. Joe's. So
I think I might see you once or twice before. I think I'll be seeing you real soon.
Fantastic. And Sean, don't be a stranger, but stop on by.
I will. Definitely will.
Thanks a million, guys.
Thanks, EJ. That was Wilton coach EJ DeNunzio. And as we finish off, and Sean, you went against him. He really is one of the good guys in the league.
Who's better than him? Honestly, like, I've never seen somebody.
Have you ever heard anybody say a bad word about him?
No.
There are like a couple of coaches, you know, several coaches that just nobody, if you lose to them, they to him, you tip your hat to him. And, you know, that's doesn't always work that way, even though the FCX is a pretty close coaching fraternity in football.
Yeah, and I'm just going to tell you quick, sir. So Norwalk High Games, I helped his visiting team because we're at McMahon, so I helped him get to and from the locker room. So last year Norwalk beat them, and it was a tough game, and Wilton should have won. Walking off the field, like, man, Norwalk played a great game. Like, he was just there's no ill feelings. I just think he's one of the nicest people in the league, and he's one of the better coaches in the league too.
All right, as we finish up here, we got a bye week, and I think we're going to have some stuff to talk about next week. Obviously midseason, but a certain game on Friday, that following Friday night in New Canaan, I think might spur a little discussion.
Also, Dave, the Norwalk Touch League 8th grade, the Vikings, are playing the Steelers this week. If you want to see a game, come to that one.
Vikings-Steelers, which day is that?
Saturday, 8 a.m. at Nathan Hale.
I don't do 8 a.m. I do not do 8 a.m. That's why I couldn't be a school teacher. I set the alarm for usually for about 9.
Nice. Good
I go to bed late, those two. So, well, Sean, we've got a bye week, but we don't have a bye week. We'll get a few people on next week. I have a feeling we may get some people from Norwalk and from New Canaan and Greenwich on. So Sean, have a good week.
You too, Dave.
All right, that's this week's Sunday Morning Quarterback. Again, thanks to Sean, thanks to Ryan Love and EJ DeNunzio. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.